भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत अंत्यलीला चैप्टर 3 टाइटल्ड द ग्लोरीज ऑफ हरिदास ठाकुर टेक्स्ट 149
प्रेमां प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन भ्रमण
प्रेम प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन भ्रमण प्रेम प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन भ्रमण प्रेम प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन भ्रमण
प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन अरे अवधूत करण दलना
प्रेम प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलना दुई कार्य अवधूत करण ब्राह्मण प्रेम प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन भ्रमण प्रेम प्रचारण आर पाषंड दलन दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन भ्रमण
माताजी प्लीज
प्रेम प्रचारण आर पर प्रसार दुई कार्य अवधूत करेन ब्राह्मण
प्रेम प्रचारण प्रीचिंग द कल्ट ऑफ भक्ति आर एंड पाषंड दलन सब्ड्यूइंग एथियस्टिक मेन दुई कार्य with two kinds of activities avadhuta the great devotee and mendicant karana does brahmana touring translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Translation. For two purposes, to spread the cult of bhakti and to defeat and subdue the atheists, Lord Nityananda, the most dedicated devotee of the Lord, moved throughout the country. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 8, Paritranaya Sadhunam, विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय संभवामि युगे युगे. Lord Krishna appears in every millennium for two purposes, namely to deliver the devotees and to kill the non-devotees. His devotees also have two similar purposes, to preach the bhakti cult of Krishna consciousness and to defeat all kinds of agnostics and atheistic demons. Nityananda Prabhu carried out the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, and those who strictly follow Nityananda Prabhu perform the same activities. There are two classes of devotees. One is called Goshthyanandi and the other is called Bhajanandi. A devotee who does not preach but always engages in devotional activities is called a Bhajanandi. Whereas a devotee who is not only expert in devotional service but who also preaches the cult of bhakti and defeats all kinds of agnostics is called a Goshthyanandi. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. In the third chapter of the Antya Leela, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described the glories of Haridas Thakur. In some detail, he describes the pastime of Haridas Thakur delivering the prostitute who had been sent to defame him by a man called Ramachandra Khan, who was a rich landlord living in that area and who had not been able to tolerate the fame that Haridas Thakur had amongst the people all around. And of course, as we all know, Haridas Thakur delivered that prostitute and actually made her a very advanced devotee of the Lord. And Kaviraj Goswami describes that Ramchandra Khan had to suffer the consequences of that, because offending an exalted devotee like Haridas Thakur is a very, very great offense. Kaviraj Goswami says that the offense at the lotus feet of a great devotee, meaning Haridas Thakur, has resulted in a wonderful narration. Taking advantage of the incidents, of the opportunity offered by these incidents, I shall explain what happened, Kaviraj Goswami says. Ramachandra Khan was essentially a non-devotee. And now that he had offended Haridas Thakur, he became just like a demoniac atheist. And because of blaspheming the cult of Vaishnavism and insulting the devotees for a long time, he now received the results of his offensive activities. And this incident that comes up now, of course, pertains to Lord Nityananda's arrival there. Lord Nityananda had returned to Bengal to preach the cult of bhakti, and now he began touring all over the country. And in this verse today we read his purposes. Why does he travel everywhere? Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna descends to deliver the devotees and to destroy the miscreants. And similarly, the devotees of the Lord descend in this world, or they perform the two functions of preaching Krishna consciousness everywhere and also of defeating all sorts of atheistic, agnostic and other opposing false ideologies. So Nityananda Prabhu, of course, being the Supreme Lord, was omniscient, and in the course of his travels, sometime after the episode of the delivery of this prostitute by Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu came to the house of this man, Ramachandra Khan. Now, don't get misled by the word Khan. He was a Hindu. The word Khan also used to appear in some families. Khan, Khanna, Khanna in the north. And even amongst the Bengali community in those days, the term Khan was there. Like we had Satyaraj Khan, Ramachandra Khan. So anyway, he came to the house of Ramachandra Khan, who was some kind of a smartha, who was a ritualistic worshipper of the demigods like Durga and so on. And in the old days, they had big houses. They had an inner house and they had an outer house. The inner house was called the Bahirbadi. Prabhupada explains it as purports. And the outer house had a Durga Mandap, or a courtyard, or a hall, where the Durga Puja festival used to be occasionally held. Every year, as you know, in Bengal, Durga Puja is a very big festival. It has been for some time. So generally, the ladies remain in the inner house, and when guests are to be received, then they are received in the outside house. So when Nityananda Prabhu arrived at the house of Ramachandra Khan, then Ramachandra Khan was in the inner house. But he did not come out to personally receive Nityananda Prabhu, as he should have, out of respect for Nityananda Prabhu's exalted status. Instead, having heard the news that he had come, he sent one of his servants to receive him. And Nityananda Prabhu was accompanied by many associates. So the servant on behalf of Ramachandra Khan came and told Nityananda Prabhu, "My dear sir, that my master Ramachandra Khan has informed that it may not be possible for us to accommodate you and your followers here because you are so many and the Durga Mandap will not have sufficient place for that purpose. So please go to the house of some ordinary man, some common man. Maybe you can go to the house of some milkman some Gwala, Goyal, Goyal, these are all Vaishya names. Goyal comes from Gwala, those who are cowherdsmen. So go to the house of some cowherd man who looks after cows, and he will have a goshala, and the goshala will have plenty of space. So all of you will be accommodated over there. So when Nityananda Prabhu heard this, he was enraged because he wasn't treated respectfully, he wasn't welcomed. Actually, even if somebody is not very exalted, even an ordinary person is considered a worshipable person when he comes to our house, in the sense that we welcome him and speak some words of welcome and make him sit down, give him some water or something like that at the very least. This is the culture. However, Ramachandra Khan not only didn't come out to receive Nityananda Prabhu, but on the contrary, he actually sent him away, in effect, and told him to live in the house of, to live in some goshala nearby. So Nityananda Prabhu then, in his anger, laughed very loudly and said, "Yes, Ramachandra Khan has spoken rightly. This place is unfit for me to stay. This place is fit for cow-killing meat-eaters." And having said this, Lord Nityananda stood up and left in a mood of anger. And in order to reprimand Ramachandra Khan, he didn't even stay for a day in that village. He left the village and went away. And then that's not all. That was offense enough. But Ramachandra Khan felt that Nityananda Prabhu had come and polluted his place. So he ordered his servant to dig up the dirt, the mud, in the place, in the Durga Mandap where Nityananda Prabhu had sat. And then he told the servant to sprinkle water mixed with cow dung to purify the place, now that Nityananda Prabhu had left. So this was definitely a very, very great offense. And of course, he had to reap the results of that, and he did so very, very soon. Now, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Ramachandra Khan was engaged in some questionable business. He was cheating the king. He was a tax collector on behalf of the king, but most likely he wasn't submitting all the collections to the king. He must have been siphoning off some of the funds. So anyway, there's a long history in our country of corruption. So soon the representative of the king came, the Muslim king, and he was also a Muslim. And he came and arrested, when he found out that Ramachandra Khan was up to some mischief. So he arrested him and his family members, and he destroyed his house, and in fact he plundered the entire village and destroyed the whole village. And not only that, he killed a cow at the very Durga Mandap, the very place where Nityananda Prabhu had sat. And he stayed there for 3 whole days, and every day a cow was killed there and cow meat was eaten there, cow flesh was eaten there at that place. So in this way, the reactions to offenses to exalted souls are very, very severe. Nityananda Prabhu, of course, is directly the Supreme Lord, Balaram. But nevertheless, the principle is that if one offends an exalted soul, then the reactions will come very quick and they will be very severe. And then Kaviraj Goswami explains, Mahantera apamana jai desh grame hai, eko janar doshe sagat desh ujadai. Mahantera apaman, if there is an offense towards the very great personalities, jai desh grame hai, in whichever country or village that offense happens, ek janar doshe sab desh ujad hoy, even for one man's mistake, the entire village or even the whole country may be destroyed. So we can see how Vaishnava aparad or Krishna aparad can be so deadly. For one man's mistake, not just the village, but sometimes the entire town or the whole area, the country may be razed. So in this way, the perils of offending the great souls and especially Nityananda Prabhu is mentioned. Now Ramachandra Khan did not believe or did not accept the exaltedness of Nityananda Prabhu. What to speak of accepting him directly as Lord Balaram? He didn't even accept him as a sadhu. He derided him and offended him. But there may be others who may accept Krishna or who may accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even, but not accept Nityananda Prabhu. So in this connection there is a pastime in the Adi Leela, 5th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in this connection, this pastime that I'm going to narrate actually leads up to eventually Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu had an important role to play in the composition of both the major literatures that deal with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings. The first one is the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the second one is the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Chaitanya Bhagavat we'll come to a little later. We'll come to the Chaitanya Charitamrita first. So Kaviraj Goswami describes the mercy and the glory of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, this 5th chapter here is also titled The Glories of Nityananda Balaram. And he says, what I'm going to narrate now should not actually be spoken about publicly, but nevertheless I'm doing it in order to glorify Lord Nityananda and to illustrate how merciful he is and how his mercy is actually delivered a very, very fallen soul. Kaviraj Goswami in his utmost humility is referring to himself as that fallen soul. So then he says that there was a servant of Lord Nityananda whose name was Meenaketan Ramdas. Now he was an avadhut just as Nityananda Prabhu was. Now what is an avadhut? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one of his comments in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, quotes from Sridhar Swami's commentary in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto, to define the term avadhuta. Asamskrita deha. Very simply put, Sridhar Swami defines an avadhuta as one who doesn't take care of his body. Of course, the idea being that he doesn't do that for the sake of attaining God, for some higher spiritual purpose. And implicit in this is that because the person doesn't take care of the body, he may dress in any way, he may be very unkempt in appearance. And by extension, one can understand that an avadhut will also be oblivious to all sorts of social norms that may be existing. Because there are so many practices and customs and norms and etiquettes to be followed in society in general. But an avadhuta may not bother about them. He may be so transcendentally situated that he just overlooks all of these things. Now one must caution that not anybody who does these things is an avadhuta. There are many people like that. When Prabhupada went to America, many of the young people were living like hippies. So externally they were like avadhutas. But the word avadhuta also has a connotation that they must be very, very serious spiritual practitioners. And not just serious practitioners, they must be very advanced in the practice. Or they may have perfected that practice. So Nityananda Prabhu was such an avadhuta. He would do all kinds of strange things, strange by ordinary estimation. He would sometimes dress very opulently, sometimes not so. He would behave very strangely at times. And amongst the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, there were many other devotees like that, like Abhiram Thakur and so on. So Meenaketan Ramadas was also an avadhuta like that. And he was an exalted Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, and a very intimate associate of Nityananda Prabhu. So he was of course a reservoir of love. He was Prema Dham, the abode of Krishna Prema. So one time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that in his village of Jhamatpur, a 24-hour kirtan program had been arranged. And many devotees had been invited to participate in that. And it would appear that Meenaketan Ramdas was staying somewhere in that area. So he was also invited for this 24-hour kirtan program. And as he entered, he was absorbed in devotional trance. As he entered, everybody respectfully rose and welcomed him, as was appropriate for as was befitting and appropriate for a person of his stature and his spiritual exaltedness. So then he came in and he sat in the courtyard. All the assembled Vaishnavas there, they bowed down at his feet. And Meenaketan Ramdas, in keeping with his mood as an avadhuta, began to do strange things sometimes. And as Vaishnavas lay prostrate on the ground to offer obeisances, he would climb on their shoulders. And sometimes he would strike somebody with his flute, or sometimes he would mildly slap them. This was an expression of his love. Now these are not things that we want to imitate. And his eyes were always full of tears of Krishna Prem. And so powerful was the visage or the face of Meenaketan Ramdas. The moment somebody saw him in his ecstatic trance, tears of ecstasy would also flow from their eyes. So Meenaketan Ramdas was a devotee of that stature, that not only did he exhibit these symptoms, but anyone who saw him also automatically became imbued with those very same symptoms. And Kaviraj Goswami describes that sometimes there were eruptions of ecstasy in his body which resembled kadamba flowers. And some parts of his limbs would sometimes be stunned, and others he would be trembling. So all the symptoms of devotional ecstasy were exhibited by him. And everyone, all those who were assembled there, were struck with wonder. And all of a sudden, from time to time, he would loudly chant Nityananda, Nityananda's name. And when people saw that, they were filled with astonishment. Now, as he entered and he sat down, there was one Kanishtha Brahmana, a devotee of sorts called Gunardava Mishra, who was worshipping the deity of Krishna that had been installed in Kaviraj Goswami's house. So he was busy doing the deity service, and when Meenaketan Ramdas entered, he did not respectfully receive him. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that a Kanishtha Bhakta or a Prakrata Bhakta, a neophyte devotee, is one who worships the deity, may have some faith in the deity, but doesn't understand how to deal with devotees. That person is not able to distinguish between different levels and categories of devotees. And such a person may sometimes become a little proud that he is worshipping Krishna, worshipping the deity and so on. So somehow Gunardava Mishra neglected or omitted to offer the proper respect that was due to Meenaketan Ramdas. So when Meenaketan Ramdas saw this, he became very angry. Why did he become angry? Not because it was an affront to his vanity or his ego. Meenaketan Ramdas was far beyond all that. He was not in the bodily conception of life. These considerations of honor and dishonor for oneself are essentially for those who are in the bodily concept of life. So Meenaketan Ramdas was not concerned about that. But he understood that the person that Gunadava Mishra was disrespecting was Nityananda Prabhu, because he was a representative and servant of Nityananda Prabhu. So Gunadava Mishra in his heart perhaps didn't have a very high regard or appreciation for Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore when his representative and servant Meenaketan Ramdas came, he also did not show him the proper respect. So then Meenaketan Ramdas became angry. And he said, here is another Roma Harshana Suta who did not stand to show honor when he saw Lord Balaram. Now I'm sure you all know this famous pastime from the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the sage called Romaharshana Suta was narrating the Puranas to many sages assembled at Naimisharanya, Lord Balaram, wanting to maintain a neutral position between the Pandavas and the Kauravas just before the battle of Kurukshetra, decided he would skip the battle and he would go on a pilgrimage to holy places. And Balaram had come to Naimisharanya. When Romaharshana Suta saw him, he did not rise. He was seated on the Vyasasana and he was speaking on the Puranas. And generally, if somebody is sitting on the Vyasasana, he's not obliged to rise to offer respect every time somebody comes. But Balaram was not an ordinary person. He is directly the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it was necessary for Romaharshana Suta to have actually got off the Vyasasana and stood up to offer respect and Lord Balaram. But because he didn't do it, Lord Balaram in his anger wanted to show mercy to Romaharshana Suta. So he took a blade of kusha grass and touched it to the body of Romaharshana Suta, who immediately fell down dead. Of course, that's another pastime. So this is the pastime that's being referred to by Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda is directly Lord Balaram and Meenaketan Ramdas is a servant of Lord Nityananda. Therefore an offense to him was an offense to Lord Nityananda. So Meenaketan Ramdas recalled this incident. And then he sang and danced immediately after that to his heart's content. And to the Brahmana's credit, to Gunadava Mishra's credit, he did not get angry when Meenaketan Ramdas spoke like that. He simply continued worshipping the deity. And when the festival was over, Meenaketan Ramdas went away, offering his blessings to everybody. Now as Meenaketan Ramdas was about to leave, he got into an argument with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother. So what was that argument about? The argument was about the position of Lord Nityananda. Meenaketan Ramdas, being a servant of Lord Nityananda, naturally wanted the brother of Kaviraj Goswami to also offer proper respect to Nityananda.
But
Kaviraj Goswami's brother had faith in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not in Nityananda Prabhu. He had only some dim reflection of faith in Nityananda Prabhu. But Sudridha Vishwas, Kaviraj Goswami said, he had very staunch faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Nityananda Prabhu, his faith was like an abhas, a dim reflection. And that was the reason why this argument occurred between Meenaketan Ramdas and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother. So of course, Meenaketan Ramdas became very unhappy with this and he left. And at that time, Kaviraj Goswami says that he fell down, the brother. He was destroyed because he had offended Lord Nityananda. Now at this time, Kaviraj Goswami began to rebuke his brother. And he said, Dui bhai ekatanu samana prakash Nityananda namana tomar habe sarvanash. Dui bhai ekatanu. Dui bhai meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. These two brothers are one body, samana prakash. They are one personality, the equal manifestations. Nityananda namana tomar habe sarvanash. And you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but you don't accept Nityananda. This will be the cause of your destruction. Akete vishvasa anya nakaran samman ardha kukkutti nyaya tomara praman. Akete vishvas, you have faith in one of them, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anya nakaro samman, but to the other, that is to Nityananda Prabhu, you don't offer him any respect. So this is your kind of thinking is called the Ardha Kukutti Nyaya. Nyaya means logic. Kukutti is a hen. Ardha means half. So your logic, Kaviraj Goswami told his brother, in accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in not accepting Nityananda Prabhu, is like the logic of the half hen. There are many such nyayas in Sanskrit literature. To illustrate certain points, you have these very witty, clever kind of analogies. They are aphorisms of sorts. Ardha Kukutti Nyaya, the logic of the half hen, refers to a little story when there was a farmer who had this hen, and the hen would lay one golden egg every day. And the farmer would sell that golden egg, and over a period of time, he became extremely wealthy. One day, however, the farmer began to have some thoughts. As you know, greed is all-consuming. There is no limit to how much wealth a greedy person wants. So he began to think that undoubtedly I'm getting one golden egg from this hen every day. But I also have to spend money to feed the hen. I feed the hen through the mouth. So what if I do away with the expense of feeding him? So if I cut off the head, then he won't have a mouth. So he won't need the food to eat. And then I can get the golden egg every day. Of course, what he didn't understand was that if he cut the head of the hen, then the golden egg would also stop coming. So he cut the neck. He slit the neck of the hen. So the hen died, and there stopped the golden eggs as well. Meaning, if the farmer wanted the golden egg, he also had to feed the hen. You can't just have one of the two. You have to have both. As they say nowadays, it's a package deal. You take everything, you take the plus and the minus. When you buy something, you buy it with the plus and minus points. So this is the issue with the hen. This is called the Ardha Kukutti Nyaya. So Kaviraj Goswami says, you are following the Ardha Kukutti Nyaya. Srila Prabhupada referred to many such nyayas in his teachings. Can anyone mention some of the other nyayas that Srila Prabhupada talked about in his teachings, or that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Like this is the Ardha Kukutti Nyaya, yes? Shakha Chandra Nyaya, excellent. Kaviraj Goswami says that just as a mother may sometimes show a small child, the moon, through the branches, through the space between two branches, because the child doesn't know where to look. So the mother will say, okay, look at these two branches and see the moon is located within the two branches. Of course, the moon is not actually located within the branches. It's just a question of the angle of vision. So, but it's a useful indication to understand something that is difficult to understand for the child. So similarly, there are analogies and metaphors that are given in transcendental literature to illustrate and make us understand the idea of Krishna or various other philosophical points, which may otherwise be very difficult for us to understand. Now, these metaphors and analogies are very hard to take literally. They have to be understood as they are, but we have to understand the limitation. They cannot 100% reflect the reality. For example, when Krishna's complexion is compared to the monsoon cloud, it's just an indication. It's Shakha Chandra Nyaya. It's not exactly like that. It's something like that, just to give us an indication from our experience in this world. So this is an example of another Nyaya, Shakha Chandra Nyaya. Anything else? Vrishika Tandula Nyaya. Vrishika is a scorpion. Tandul is the rice. So sometimes there's a heap of rice grains and a scorpion may come out of that, and we may think that the rice has given birth to the scorpion. But of course the rice hasn't given birth to the scorpion. The scorpion was born from other scorpions. So similarly, some people who say that life originated from this material world, from Prakriti. So that's also Vrishika Tandula Nyaya. So there are many such nyayas. Prabhupada spoke frequently of them. Sometimes he mentioned the Sanskrit word and sometimes he didn't. Like for example, Koopa Manduka Nyaya. Koopa means a well, Manduka means a frog. So the frog in the well attitude. So Prabhupada said, gave many, many anecdotes about these things. So the Ardha Kukuti Nyaya is also one such Nyaya. It's a field of logic, but in Krishna consciousness, these can be sometimes effectively used to illustrate theological or philosophical points. So then Kaviraj Goswami he made a very important point here to his brother, that you can't just accept one of the two brothers and not accept the other. You have to accept both. And then he goes on to say, it would be better for to be an atheist and not accept both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, rather than just accepting one of them, which is just irrational, it's illogical. Anyway, in the meanwhile, Meenaketan Ramdas had become upset with this whole discussion with Kaviraj Goswami's brother. So he broke his flute in anger and left. And Kaviraj Goswami's brother also, of course, fell down at that point, Kaviraj Goswami says. And because Kaviraj Goswami had rebuked his brother for having not insufficient faith in Nityananda, Nityananda Prabhu was pleased with him. And Kaviraj Goswami says, that night, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream. And there, having appeared, he was looking extremely effulgent, blazing in all his glory. Kaviraj Goswami says that in the dream, when I saw Nityananda Prabhu, I fell down and offered my prostrated obeisances to him. And he said, arise, get up. And he told me again and again to rise. And as I rose, I was astonished to see the beauty of Lord Nityananda. And interestingly, in this vision that Kaviraj Goswami had of Lord Nityananda, he has a blackish complexion. Shama Chikkana Kanti Prakanda Sharir. He had a huge body, a glossy complexion, blackish complexion. and he was tall, strong and heroic and appeared like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms and legs and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a turban, silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions and millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, and he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna, Krishna in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of these associates played horns, some played flutes, others danced and sang. And thus this was the opulence of Lord Nityananda that Kaviraj Goswami saw in his dream. His wonderful qualities and pastimes and form are all transcendental, Kaviraj Goswami says. So Kaviraj Goswami was so overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, he didn't know anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to Kaviraj Goswami and told him, "O my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things." Hare Hare Krishna Das Nakaraha Bhai Vrindavan Jaha Taha Sarva Labhya Hai. Go to Vrindavan and there you will attain all things. And at that time he directed me towards Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared along with his associates. So he pointed in the direction of Vrindavan with his hand and ordered Kaviraj Goswami to go there and told him that you will fulfill all your desires there. And then Kaviraj Goswami's dream broke. He awoke, and as soon as he awoke, he recalled the dream. And immediately, he says, he didn't tarry. He didn't try to wind up all his affairs and so on and so forth and then go after a couple of months and so on. Immediately, as soon as he woke up, he walked out of his house and went to Vrindavan. Walked all the way to Vrindavan. Because he understood this was Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's personal instruction to him. And then he says, Jaya Jaya Nityananda, Nityananda Ram, Jahara Kripate Painu Vrindavana Dham. All glory to Lord Nityananda, Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. And it is because of Lord Nityananda, he says, that I have received the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and also of Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarup Damodar Goswami and so on. So Kaviraj Goswami in the subsequent verses here expresses his unlimited gratitude to Nityananda Prabhu for having completely delivered a fallen soul like himself. Of course, we don't accept Kaviraj Goswami's assessment of himself in these words. That is his humility. And he goes on to then, in very painful words, describe his own position as he sees it. He describes himself as a very lowly person, and even if one chants his name, then one's pious credits will be destroyed and so on. Such humility, of course, can never be imitated. But in exalted persons like Kaviraj Goswami, these are genuine and beautiful ornaments. So in any case, Kaviraj Goswami, on the instruction of Nityananda Prabhu, left for Vrindavan, settled there, and eventually on the order of the Vaishnavas there, and with the blessings of Sri Madan Mohan, he composed the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Nityananda Prabhu played a very important role here. Had Kaviraj Goswami not gone to Vrindavan, probably the Chaitanya Charitamrita may not have been written, who knows. And as far as the other book, Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I'll be very brief about it. Nityananda Prabhu had many disciples directly. And it is generally accepted in the Gaudiya Vaishnava community that Vrindavan Das Thakur was not just the direct disciple of Nityananda Prabhu, but he was also the last disciple. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, was about 4 years old when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So he must have been about 20 years of age when Mahaprabhu performed his disappearance pastimes. And some years after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Mahaprabhu disappeared in 1534. A couple of years after that, maybe 1 or 2 or 3, 4 years after that, Vrindavan Das Thakur compiled the Chaitanya Bhagavat on the order of Nityananda Prabhu. The Chaitanya Charitamrita was compiled much later, 40 to 45 years or maybe almost 50 years after that, in the 1580s. When Vrindavan Das Thakur compiled or composed the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it was known originally as Chaitanya Mangal. But because Lochan Das Thakur's book was also called Chaitanya Mangal, then the name of Vrindavan Das Thakur's book was changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because of his special connection to Nityananda Prabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur, in the course of narrating the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also began to narrate the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu in great detail. And he became so absorbed in narrating Lord Nityananda's pastimes that by the time he realized that the book had become voluminous, he had not even started going into detail on the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he ended the Chaitanya Bhagavat there. Therefore we see that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that have been narrated by Vrindavan Das Thakur in great detail are mostly the earlier pastimes. His childhood pastimes, his dealings with Chand Kazi, right up to his sannyas pastimes and a little after that. But the pastimes beyond that, Vrindavan Das Thakur couldn't do it because he thought the book was already voluminous. Because he had got so carried away in narrating Lord Nityananda's pastimes, he realized it's going to become too thick. So then he halted it. And then Kaviraj Goswami, when he started Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, what can I do? I am just chewing the remnants of what was left by Vrindavan Das Thakur. He was a favorite devotee, Kripa Patra, the recipient of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. He is the original Vyasa of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And I am simply the recipient of his mercy. I am chewing the remnants of what he has left behind. I will not have the audacity, he says, to narrate or describe the same pastimes that Vrindavan Das Thakur has described. Rather, I will only venture to describe in detail those pastimes that Vrindavan Das Thakur has somehow left out. So Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita focuses on the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu in more detail than he does on the earlier pastimes, because these earlier pastimes were covered by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So we see Nityananda Prabhu playing a crucial role in the compilation of the two major works on the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. God Premanande. Hare Krishna.